Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next. A dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
If we're going to have some real healing, we've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Joy all, I am Naila Ansari, and I'm the guest host for What's Next, and I am so excited about this episode. I have Nakia Kemp here, the executive director of the Police Athletic League of Buffalo. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for coming. I'm so excited for you to be here. I'm here with my pal.
I like how you did that.
Pun intended on that. And it's so interesting because I remember growing up with PAL and understanding all the different programs. So I'm excited to see what you all are doing now and hear about all the wonderful programs. And when we get started here, I want you to share with everyone, who are you? Who is Nakia and what do you do at the Police Athletic League?
Well, yes, I'm Nakia Kemp. I'm the executive director of the Police Athletic League of Buffalo. And part of the mission is really to provide enrichment, education, and sports program in partnership with law enforcement for youth in the city of Buffalo. And so I have been in youth development for many, many years. I won't say how many years. 30 plus years of working with children. I've been incredibly blessed the last 8 years to be the executive director of Buffalo PAL, and have had a chance to watch the evolution over the years, which has been pretty cool. A lot of times people run into me, I was in PAL, or I played in the basketball league or baseball league years ago, and to see some of the cool things that you're doing now, is really inspiring. So I'm excited every time I run into a PAL kid or a PAL alumni, especially in the community.
Yes. And can you speak a little bit about the evolution? Because I know everyone has different iterations of PALs here. And then it was, with the police academy and then mayor bringing them in. So can you talk a little bit about the evolution of it?
Yes, yes. So years ago, Buffalo PAL was actually Ben PAL. So it was sponsored by the Buffalo Evening News, and they started baseball. So they did baseball leagues and kids from all over. And this was way back, probably 50s, 60s with PAL. And over the years, Buffalo went through some fiscal issues because if people don't know, PALs are all over the world. Here in the United States, there are many PALs, and a lot of them fall under the police department. So their budget is under the police department. And as Buffalo went through, and I don't know, many people may remember going through some fiscal trials and tribulations, they went through a control board. And so a lot of programs were cut, and youth programs, senior programs were cut. And so back then, the administration looked at many different ways to try and rectify the budget. And at the time, Tony Masiello was the mayor. And he was also an avid basketball star and was a PAL
He's
kid.
He's tall, too.
He's very tall. But he loved youth sports. He played a lot of different sports, him and his siblings. And so that was one of the things as part of his administration is to really resurrect PAL and make it a 501c3 organization, a standalone organization where the organization can apply for grant funding, but also have fundraisers. So being able to move it from under the police budget budget and under the city to really focus on being able to raise funds, because he knew then that, you know, youth sports was huge. Sports is the great unifier. It's like everyone is a Bills fan. Everyone is a Sabres fan. And oftentimes for children, black and brown children, it is their key to getting out of poverty, their key to getting scholarships. Sports has so many benefits, the health benefits, the mental benefits. And so he knew the importance of that. And so he really focused on being the chairman of the board and really building the agency up to be able to apply for funding, which is pretty cool. So throughout the 70s, people remember all of the Powell had buildings and all the buildings closed down. But he was able to make a really strong partnership with the city of Buffalo and work through the city of Buffalo's community centers and the Buffalo Public Schools to be able to still have strong youth programming that really focused in the area of sports. And throughout those years, it kind of evolved. And through Mayor Brown's tenure, who has, you know, a passion for literacy, was able to bring in a lot of literacy programming as the foundation for a lot of programs. So it's great that we've got the carrot bringing in with kids playing sports. But now that we have them, let's focus on some really cool literacy programming and launching the Mayor Summer Reading Challenge and a few other things to make sure that literacy was woven in within all of the programs that were offered through PAL.
That's incredible. So literacy is really close to me because I have family that, you know, are really dealing with different neurodivergent issues like dyslexia. And literacy is a fond part of that. And that's something I didn't know about PAL. And especially for our black and brown children, it's sometimes hard to identify when our students, our children need help. So can you talk a little bit more about the programming that you have for literacy? Because it is so focused, tend to be on
yes,
sports,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is definitely focused on sports. But about 7 years ago, we launched a partnership with Literacy Buffalo Niagara to bring in tutors to work with some of the kids who were involved in sports. And what we discovered is that some of the youth that we were working with were 2 to 3 years behind literacy levels. So we really started to implement programming around basic tutoring, really basic, focusing on literacy skills as the foundation. Because of course, you know, you can't do social studies, science, and math if you can't read or comprehend what you're reading. So we felt that instead of taking a big, huge chunk, because of course our specialty is working with kids in sports, we'd really forge those partnerships with some of our area colleges and some other agencies to be able to work on that. And throughout the years, we created the STAR Literacy Program, which is Share the Art of Reading. And so over the years, it's grown every year. This year, again, it was like no other. We had so many kids that come in, but it's a totally free program. And parents can drop their kids off and they can come work with a certified teacher. We have a certified curriculum that we work with the Cullen Foundation and Chapin University and UB to be able to execute and be able to work with these children on their individual levels. So small group tutoring and a homework assistance that happens every day of the week, which is a pretty cool thing.
Oh, that's incredible. After this, you might get some more flood of students that are going to be coming in. You need that tutoring.
Yeah, we welcome them.
we'll make sure that you have them. That's for sure. You know, I work a lot with nonprofits, and a lot of folks don't understand the need to really raise funds.
Oh my gosh!
And the importance of that, right? And how difficult it is to be able to have this program, but you have to have funding to do it. So I know that on November 22nd, you have an auction.
The 14th.
The 14th. Yes. November 14th.
Yes, November 14th.
November 14th. And on November 14th on Thursday, this auction, can you explain a little bit about it, the importance of it? I know the importance of it from working in nonprofit.
Yes.
But share with everyone else why it's important to raise money.
It is huge. Only 15% of PALs across the country are non-fee based, which means all of our programs are completely free. The only programs we really charge for is our leagues. And a lot of times it's the suburban leagues that have to pay into to play basketball or baseball. But all the other programs are completely free. And in order to keep them at no cost, we have to raise funds. And we really rely on the Buffalo community that has been, you know, phenomenal throughout the times, and all the PAL alumni to really support. So we ask for support throughout the year for people to make donations. And also we have several fundraisers throughout the year to make sure that we're reaching folks and that we tell our stories. We make sure that the kids and the families really talk about how important it is that they are participating in these programs and how effective it's been for their lives. We work with a lot of youth that are in transition. We work with a lot of foster kids. We also work with a lot of children who have touched in the juvenile justice system. We have programming in the Erie County Detention Facility on East Ferry. So being able to have the opportunity for kids who may have made not so great decisions in the past come to us and not be turned away because they're considered a troublemaker, but come to us and be able to make positive decisions and work with law enforcement and be able to make better decisions. And that's really what we want. So we focus a lot on nurturing our youth. We focus a lot on making sure they make positive decisions. We work a lot with mentoring with the law enforcement. So it's a unique type of program. We do something a little different working with our youth. We want to make sure that we have, that the kids have voice and choice on what they want to do, what they want to learn. Oftentimes we're introducing sports to them that they would have never had the opportunity to do, like tennis or golf. There's not many youth of color who play golf. And now we have a large amount of youth actually learning the game of golf and learning the game of tennis. And that could turn into scholarships for school, an opportunity. We've heard from some of our kids where, you know, they were, you know, sad, especially coming out of COVID. We were one of the few agencies that continued to work through COVID. And that's because most of our programming is outdoors.
Right.
And so the summer of 2020, we were out with giving kids tennis rackets and hula hoops and jump ropes and showing them how to do things on their own so they can stay physically active, because that also helped with their mental health. Mm-hmm. You know, being alone and being in solitude a lot and not having any social interaction is really hard for adults. So could you imagine, you know, for kids? So getting out and playing and utilizing our beautiful parks in the city of Buffalo. So that's really, you know, one of the things where a lot of nonprofits kind of rolled back during COVID. We kind of advanced and actually flourished during that time because we were one of the only ones out just really focusing on getting kids outside, getting them playing, getting them moving, creating social media challenges, jump rope challenges, and hopscotch, bringing back old school games, steal the bacon, red light, green light, all sorts of cool things. And also getting them comfortable with our law enforcement, getting them out in the parks and having them feel safe and comfortable mm-hmm. to just play out in the park. It's cool when you have a law enforcement officer, your mom, grandmom, cousins, all playing kickball in the park. I mean, it's bringing it back to those days where we just go outside and play and have fun and not be so connected to technology and things that are happening, because those could have a mental toll on us.
Yeah.
So really focusing our programming on mental and physical health is what we've really been focusing on these past few years.
It's so interesting. For the first thought, it was, I need to get myself out there to get my skills together.
Especially kickball.
But the second thing that came up for me is I have so many students that talk so much about their mental health, particularly mm-hmm. after COVID. And,
oh my gosh, yes.
You know, I think about it now, as I wish that I could have told my students, you need to go mm-hmm. to PAL wherever mm-hmm. you are in your area to make sure that you really can connect. Can you talk a little bit about the difference over the years and what mm-hmm. you've seen with students and with the youth in terms of mental health and the impact mm-hmm. that PAL has had on them?
Oh, definitely. We've seen a lot. Nowadays, kids are a little bit more vocal about how they feel, about how they're, you know, I commend them, because I was like, I remember when I was a teenager, I never really talked about how I felt. Right. So when you can have a 7 or 8 year old tell you, I feel angry because, like, they're very articulate yes. on how they feel. And we want to foster that. We want them to be comfortable with the way that they feel and not feel penalized, you know, especially boys and girls, you know, not feel penalized for having emotions. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we pride ourselves in is restorative practice and restorative justice. All of our programs are rooted in restorative practices. And what that is before we begin any activity, all the kids sit in a circle with the adults and they say, well, how's your day? Let's check in, see how everybody's doing, how you feeling? Because we can't play a game and move on if people are harboring other things. Mm-hmm. You had a bad day at school, things happen. You're coming into the community center just upset already. So it's always a good time to have a seat, have a check-in, and really talk about, you know, how you're feeling now and how we can overcome those feelings. You know, maybe you do need to throw the ball or hit the bat a couple of times to be able to get that frustrations out, but giving these kids the tools of how to deal with their anger and their emotions, especially teenagers. They just want to be heard. They that's just want to be heard. And that's one of our biggest focus areas is our teenagers and making sure that we're preparing them to be, you know, capable adults that make good decisions is huge. I mean, we talk about teenagers all the time and they talk about, oh, we don't have anything to do. And so
right, I'm bored.
Right. We want to make sure we've asked them, what do you want to do? We want to make money. We want jobs. So, you know, working together, you know, with the city of Buffalo and making sure that, you know, we are one of the top partners for Mayor Summer Youth Program. So making sure that kids have jobs, making sure that we engage them throughout the school year and things that they want to do. We just recently launched a podcast called Teen Voice and Choice, which is amazing. And having the kids learn how to talk to one another and express their feelings so that they're heard, because that's all they want is to be heard. They want jobs. They want opportunities. They want equality. They want access to programs. And they've been very clear about that. So being able to, you know, having them learn more about how they can communicate, how they can advocate for themselves, how they can understand policy, how they can understand how politics work, all of that so they can advocate for themselves has been huge, especially within all of our programs.
It's so interesting because with AI and technology mm-hmm. and this kind of big boom that people are feeling, communication is of the utmost importance. And so you mentioned that this program, the Teen Voice, Teen Choice. And have you seen a difference from this podcast in mm-hmm. terms of the communication with younger ones? Mm-hmm. Like when you were talking about the younger ones, I was like, I just feel like I'm just talking to my kids right now. But with older ones, it's difficult for them mm-hmm. to share those emotions and how mm-hmm. they feel. Have you, with this program, have you seen a shift in them feeling like they wanted to communicate and feeling like they actually have a voice?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, with all of our programs, even Youth Opportunity Connect, where we're working with them over the summer on career opportunities. What do you want to do after college? What do you want to do moving forward? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Provoking them to think of those things. Because as a teenager, you're just really thinking about now.
Right.
Like right now. No one's thinking about tomorrow, next week, like right now.
They're like invincible.
I have teenagers
right?
at home, so I know. They're like, they do not think of the future. So pushing them to think about it and then pushing them to write about it. I think, you know, journaling is, you know, is good for adults, is definitely good for teenagers, is to write down how you're feeling, you know, what your thoughts are, what things make you insecure, what things make you scared, you know, and how can we as adults support you into making sure that you can make the right decisions and giving you the tools that you need in order to make those better decisions. Because the problem is when you see there's no light at the end of the tunnel, you can't see it. It makes it really hard to be able to focus if you can't see that light. So being able to have programming where the staff, the coaches, the officers are able to share with them, these are some of the things that I did. These are some of the mistakes I made. These are, you know, the opportunities that are afforded to you. And them listening is always amazing. It always think about, wow, this is, you know, why I do the things that I do. I was like, this is, I'm very faith-driven person and you know, I always think about, okay, everybody is born, it has a purpose, mm-hmm. has a reason that they're here, has a purpose of why they're here. And sometimes the struggle gets hard. It gets difficult. It gets sad. And it's okay. But at the end of the day, there's still that reason why you're here. And being able to channel into that and foster that, that is where we want our young people to be and to understand that you're here. You're here for a reason. You may not see it now, but you are destined to be somebody and do something. And as long as they have someone there supporting them and speaking life into them, they're able to move forward and make better decisions. It's when they don't have that type of support is where you see, you know, issues in juvenile justice mm-hmm. and issues with them going into the system and them making bad decisions and, you know, being around people they shouldn't be around. That are not, you know, feeling, you know, lifting them up in a positive way. And so we try to make sure at every opportunity that we're lifting those youth in a positive way.
It's so, I almost like tear up a little bit because right now everyone thinks that this generation is kind of like, let's just throw them away. Right, like we can't relate to them. They're a different kind of breed,
yeah,
you know, which I think every generation says about the younger generation. But hearing you talk about it, I know that there's been so many students and so many youth that have just, you know, had these amazing highlights.
Oh my gosh!
You know, may have come from a place where you're like, I don't know if you're gonna make it, and then they come back, and then you see them, and they're just these amazing, successful,
amazing
people. Can you share at least one? I know there's a
oh
ton that you can share, but one highlight of a youth that you've had that really came from, you know, really struggled in particularly communicating their feelings, and you might have thought that, you know, we might not make it. You might end up either in jail or somewhere else.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many stories. I mean, there's kids now that come and show up every day. They're there, you know, and they let us know, you know, if I wasn't here, I don't know what I'd be doing. And I've, over the years, have had quite a few that are still with me. You got 22, 23-year-olds who are in school, who are still working as coaches. They started off being 14 years old, and now I've watched some of them graduate from college. I've watched some of them get full-time jobs and just be just the ultimate success story. You know, we talked a little bit about the auction, and one of the highlights that I'm so excited about is we are actually going to honor the 14U girls championship team.
Oh, wow.
And the 16U boys championship team of 1998. So it's, you know, the 25th year anniversary of this group of amazing kids who at 14 and 16 years old had the opportunity to play together, had an opportunity to gain leadership skills. I mean, they could all tell you sports, being a part of a team made them the leaders that they are today. And being able to look and have them come back, and a lot of them, because it was before my time, kind of looked up and saw some of the jobs and the professional, I mean, whether they're in this area or not, they've been able to do some phenomenal things. And so to have them come back and celebrate almost like a mini alumni and encourage the community to say, hey, this program, you know, gave me so much, gave me leadership skills, gave me confidence, you know, helped me, you know, be healthier mentally, physically, emotionally. And so I want to be able to give back and show the community, hey, I turned out this way as a positive adult because I was a part of something great. And so being able to corral the alumni, because I know there's so many PAL kids around. I run into people all the time. So I was in PAL. You know, how
I
can
see
we...
the t-shirts, right?
Right. I see the t-shirts all the time, you know, the old t-shirts. Right. I'm like, oh, that t-shirt was from back in the day. But being able to have those folks who have lived their lives come back, tell their stories, and really support, because we're in trying times. I mean, we're in a political climate that is going to be trying. It's going to be hard. And we have to really save ourselves. I mean, we can't rely on, you know, government funding or grants or anything else. We have to give. And if everyone gives a little bit, you know, we're launching this campaign 1,000 for 100, and we're looking for 1,000 people to give $100 annually, $100. it's not a lot.
It's not
I think we go out to dinner and probably spend a dinner and drinks and movies. You know, we probably spend that, you know, in a month on recreational stuff. But being able to take $100 a year and know that I'm putting this toward another child to have the same opportunity I did is huge. And that could give us $100,000 in unrestricted funds. That means when we're out in the park and we see, you know, some of our kids, especially during COVID and after, didn't have shoes. Mm. They're running and trying to play soccer in Crocs. You ever try to play soccer in a pair of Crocs?
No, although I feel
it is
like,
not safe.
I feel like
flip-flops and Crocs, no,
yes.
It's not safe. But for the officers to notice, hey, this kid has a hole in his shoes, or mm-hmm. hey, you know, why did this kid has always got on flip flops, or they're playing barefoot, you know, to be able to go out and just buy him a pair of sneakers, and we don't have to, you know, justify they needed sneakers, so we shouldn't have to justify that. Being able to have, I mean, people don't realize discretionary funds is huge for nonprofits because
yes.
you can use it for what you need, and being able to address the needs of those kids is really what we want to do, because we see a lot. We see a lot. And being able to partnership and collaborate. I mean, the key word, especially in this political climate, is going to be partnership. It's going to be collaboration. It's going to be working together. It's going to be we know that we're not the experts, just like in literacy. We're not the experts in literacy, but we can bring in partners to be able to help focus with the certified teachers and working with Buffalo Public Schools to be able to push that out. We know we're not the experts in social work, or we know we're not the experts in mental health, but we could work with Best Self Behavioral Health to bring in and do some stuff with us. We know we're not the experts at restorative circles of restorative practice, but we've worked with Erie County Restorative Justice to come in and do training with the police officers and the staff and the coaches to be able to give us the tools to be able to support our youth. So the more we work with other agencies and the more we continue to partner and the more we continue to work together, we'll start to see our community do better and grow. And offer these opportunities. All we want is a community that's safe, number one. Nobody wants their car stolen.
Right.
Nobody wants that. We want to live in a safe community. We also, you know, want to live in a community where we have a lot of economic success. And the only way to do that is to make sure our kids have the right educational tools, make sure they have those avenues to higher education or career exploration. You know, if they want to go into plumbing or go into something else, we want to make sure that they have those, they know that those opportunities exist, and those will only come with partnership and collaboration.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk some more about those partnerships and collaborations. Mm-hmm. I'm your guest host, Naila Ansari, for What's Next, and we'll see you soon.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
Welcome back. I'm guest host Naila Ansari for What's Next, and I've been having an amazing conversation with the executive director of Buffalo Athletic League, Nakia Kemp. Welcome back after break. I've just enjoyed talking to you and learning so much about PAL. I feel like we are pals after this. We
yes.
definitely got to have to hang out. But one thing we talked about was collaboration. And a lot of times mm-hmm. we think of it in terms of organizations. Mm-hmm. But in terms of PAL, there's a lot of collaboration between law enforcement and the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on right now. We've seen, right? We got a lot going on in politics, but
yes.
we also have a lot in terms of in our own neighborhoods with mm-hmm. violence and trying to figure out how am I going to have a safe space? Can I trust the police? Can I
right.
not trust the police? So can you talk a little bit about building those relationships, mm-hmm. particularly what's put out in social media and in the world and those certain perceptions that people have with law enforcement, particularly the youth, and how has PAL been bridging that gap?
Well, Yeah, I think, you know, since 2020, especially with, you know, social justice and unrest and George Floyd and, you know, it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was very hard. And at the time, the police commissioner, which was Byron Lockwood at the time, was a community. He started off as a community police officer and rose through the ranks to become the commissioner of police. And he was from the community. Mm-hmm. And he implemented several programs, which was unorthodox back then. He would, you know, park an RV in the middle of Goodyear Avenue, and he'd be like, this is my office for the day. And he would stay there. He would host these events called Taking It to the Streets, where he would just be out there with the police officers and one in the, you know, right in the middle of neighborhoods that had high crime. And he'd be like, what's going on? But one of the most impactful programs, or I would say initiatives, is the Neighborhood Engagement Team, mm-hmm. the NET team. The NET unit, which is Neighborhood Engagement Team, is a special unit of police officers that are specifically geared to work with community organizations. And we are very fortunate at PAL to work directly with the lieutenant and the unit, and they are involved in all programs across the board. And they have been absolutely amazing. One of the programs that we launched right after COVID is called Critical Conversations. And what that is exactly what it is, having a critical conversation between law enforcement and youth. So the police officers, the NET team would go into high schools and do a restorative circle with teenagers, and they would pose particular topics and let the teenagers talk about biases, about things that they're afraid of, about things that they were angry about. And they would share personal stories of, you know, I remember one of the kids at East High School, you know, asked one of the police officers, why would you even want to be a cop? Like, why would you, like, all this horrible thing, like, why would you want to do that? And this young lady, who I'm not going to say her name, but she was very emotional, and she's a NET officer, and she began to cry and said, you know, when I was younger, I watched a terrible interaction between, you know, the police and my parents. You know, they had come to the house for a disturbance, and, you know, it was triggering for mm-hmm. her. And her reason for becoming a police officer is because she said, I would never want another child to feel that way, to be talked to in that way, to feel less than inferior to someone. And so that was her reason for becoming a police officer, to serve, protect, and be able to change the image of how policing is looked at. Hmm. And being able to have that conversation with these teenagers, who then begin to see these police officers as people who have families and feelings and reasons behind why they chose the career path that they did. And being able to watch that over and over again in each school. And we know that, you know, Buffalo Public Schools are very diverse. Mm-hmm. So everything from, you know, students who were minorities to students who were immigrant and refugees, who talked a lot about cultural, you know, not looking in their eyes. And that is a cultural thing. And the officers begin to talk to them about some of their biases. And watching that exchange was just beautiful. It's something that we've shared with the community. We actually have a YouTube channel and a playlist with all of the conversations between the law enforcement and the kids. The first series that we did, we actually recorded it and put it on our YouTube channel so people could go and watch it and hear the real life stories of police officers and real life stories of kids and their biases and how they work together and how those police officers are using that information to be able to work and train with other officers and talk about cultural competencies and talk about, you know, things that they, you know, biases that they have brought to the table as officers and didn't realize it. And the same thing with the kids. So it became a real learning experience that they were able to turn into a professional development mm-hmm. opportunity, because there has not been, as far as I know, having that interaction that's deep on that level. And this program was launched in 4 cities. We were one of 4 that originally launched this program, along with Detroit PAL, Memphis PAL, Buffalo, and there was one more. I can't remember the 4th city, but there were 4 cities that piloted this program, and it's been highly effective throughout the years, bridging the gap between law enforcement and youth. So it's definitely one of the programs that we're most proud of.
Yes.
And that we're continuing to do with our partnership with Buffalo Public Schools.
And it's something that's needed, because this mm-hmm. idea, you know, community policing looks different to a lot of people, but the work that you're doing, that is community policing. You're working with the youth, mm-hmm. you're letting them know, hey, we're here, but they're also knowing the mm-hmm. folks in the communities that they're engaging with by way of the youth.
Oh, yeah. They know the kids by name.
Right,
they pull like, up, roll up on them. What you doing out here?
Right. Get it together. You gotta mm-hmm. go out. And so, mm-hmm. you know, because there's been such a viewpoint and perceptions, particularly after George mm-hmm. Floyd, of law enforcement and police officers, mm-hmm. to be in the community is so important. And to hear mm-hmm. that there's folks that are high up the ranks that don't have to be, you know, right. community policing anymore. Mm-hmm. They're there to say, hey, we're here. And that sounds like that's one of the utmost important things mm-hmm. to PAL.
Oh, absolutely. It's about prevention.
Yes.
It's about prevention, because one of the officers told one of the kids, you know, when we do a traffic stop, we're just as scared as you. we're just as terrified, you know, it's from both ends. So being able to really understand that and be able to say, okay, I can comprehend how they would feel on the other side. You know, the first time hearing these stories, you know, is amazing to see the interaction between these kids and law enforcement, and comparing it to even crime rates. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't realize, but there is a reduction. There has been a reduction of crime over the years in the city of Buffalo. And that's attributed a lot to community policing. And, you know, after Commissioner Lockwood has retired, mm-hmm. he's joined the PAL board, which is amazing. But even Commissioner Grimalia now has made it his priority to make sure that community policing and those programs stay in place. And the same thing with the new administration, the new mayor administration has a very strong emphasis on supporting youth programming, and also keeping these programs in place to really be able to support the community in reducing crime in the city of Buffalo.
Have you found that in your collaborations, not only with law enforcement, but the schools mm-hmm. have been helpful in bringing the youth law enforcement mm-hmm. together, right? Because school is kind of seems like it's like this other thing that kids do and
yeah.
they come home,
yeah.
right? So for
even though they spend more time out of school right. than in school.
right. And so do you find mm-hmm. these partnerships helpful in kind of bridging that gap as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think being a part of, we've had the opportunity to be a part of some really innovative preventative programs, working with the Buffalo Public Schools, looking at suspension rates have skyrocketed.
Yes.
So being able to work with them and look at alternatives to suspension and funneling those youth into enrichment programs. We're one of many agencies that are working with the Buffalo Public Schools to really focus on getting these youth in preventative programs mm-hmm. and getting them supports to be able to channel their energy.
Yeah, right, yes.
So that, you know, suspension should be the very, you know, last alternative is to have a child out of school, which is something we don't want. So being able to support, again, by it being the largest school district, being able to have that partnership with Buffalo Public Schools has been huge. Being able to push in during the day with programming, being able to do after school programming, being able to do Saturdays and Saturday academies has been huge. So that has definitely been a wonderful partnership that we've had with the Buffalo Public Schools over the past few years.
Now, I have to ask you, because mm-hmm. I'm hearing all these amazing things that you mm-hmm. all do. How do you make it through as an executive director? Who's around to help you? Mm-hmm. Do you have volunteers? Can folks volunteer mm-hmm. to come and help you?
We have an amazing, amazing, amazing staff, an amazing administrative team, and amazing coaches. And people ask all the time, where do your staff and coaches come from? And I said, you know, we breed them. And it's it's funny, but it's true. I mean, I get, you know, again, teenagers that start working with me when they're 16, 17, 18, they graduate, they stay on year after year, and then they just end up staying. And so we end up having some very consistent staff. So we don't have a high recidivism mm-hmm. Because people, even when they get full-time jobs, they still want to work for PAL, you know, part-time to make sure, because it's the passion that draws them. It's the connection to the kids. It's the connection to the programs. And it's always changing based off of, you know, what the needs are. We started a few years ago a cooking program. People are like, PAL and cooking? I'm like, yeah.
Cooking's like, amazing, by the way.
We started doing virtual cooking classes during COVID because we realized the kids were hungry. We had them out running out through the parks, and they was starving. And I was like, oh gosh, I'm so hungry.
Make your own food.
And we were like, you know what? We might as well pile on healthy eating too. Why not? You know, we've got literacy. We can teach them how to read, and they're running around. Might as well talk about food literacy. Why not?
Yep.
You know, we had a lot of kids who didn't know the difference between a cucumber and a pickle mm-hmm. or a zucchini. They were like, what is this? And it was like, wow. So, you know, launching a program called Passport to the World Cooking. With one of our board members, Patty Green, who is amazing, you know, being able to really connect with the kids and not just say, OK, we want you to be physically healthy and mentally healthy. We also want you to be putting the right fuel mm-hmm. in your body, and understanding how, you know, groceries are high. They're expensive.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, they're so expensive. And a lot of times, you know, people are used to, you know, we'll take the canned goods, some SpaghettiOs, and throw stuff in, and realize the things that you're putting into your body affects you physically. Mm-hmm. Your kids are getting heavier. We have high rates of obesity here. We have high rates of asthma. Mm-hmm. You know, what are things that we can do? Because these kids want to play sports, but then on the opposite spectrum, if you're putting garbage into your body.
Right, and you don't know difference. You're like, why am I sluggish?
You're right. Oh, these SpaghettiOs is weighing me down. So, you know, being able to, you know, create this program where these kids are not only coming in and learning sports, but now we have this cooking program. And it's Passport to the World because the kids are learning about different places. So Hispanic Heritage Month was last month. They made enchiladas, and they had never made enchiladas before. And they're like, how do you make it? It was the coolest thing ever. But being able to have, again, partnerships that support and say, we believe food security is also important, so we want to help. And so being able to give our families grocery bags every time there's a school break. People don't realize that, you know, when kids go to school and there's no school, a lot of them don't eat.
Right.
And don't have options. You know, eat cereal all week until they go, you know, back to school. That may be what's going on. But being able to offer kids, hey, here's a grocery bag for the week, and here's some recipes in there mm-hmm. of how to make really cool breakfast and lunch and dinner. It's so funny watching some of the teenagers. They had just learned what a crepe was. And they're like, it's just a skinny pancake. Right. This is amazing. And then they learn the history of crepes. And so it's all these other cool things that we're able to bring in over the summer. All of our teenagers got handheld smoothie makers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can charge it up.
It's
so cool. But the teenagers it's so funny because they were making smoothies like the whole summer. And I'm like, how amazing is that? You know how many teenagers just get up and run out the door? They don't eat breakfast mm-hmm. and then they're sluggish the rest of the day. And then they got an attitude by fifth period. Right. Then they go off on the teacher. Like, people don't realize hangry is a thing.
Hangry is a thing.
And again, we want to be our best self. So why not support them? And so for the teenagers to be excited over these handheld blenders and to be making smoothies, and they were so excited to tell me, I made this kind of smoothie and that kind of smoothie. I said, oh my God, this is why I love my job. But it was just amazing because, again, it's bringing another layer into the fold of saying, you know, we want them to be physically healthy, but, you know, we also have to, you know, it's about food literacy and understanding, you know, how to make. I had a couple kids tell me, I will never buy salad dressing again because you don't need to buy it because you can just make it yourself with some lemon and some oil. It's, I mean, the coolest things and some meals that they've never had before, they learned how to make. They learned about, you know, Greek food, and they've learned about Italian food, and they've made their own pasta. I had never even made my own pasta. I was like, I'm coming to class to learn how to make pasta. But it is such a cool thing that we've been able to kind of spin off and have all these other programs really overall support the mental and physical and social emotional health of the kids that participate in all the PAL programs. And I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that, oh, we serve a lot of kids. We're up to about 17,000 a year.
Wow.
that go through. People are like, well, where are your buildings? I go, you know what? Uniquely enough, we do not have a PAL building, but through our partnership and collaboration with the city, we provide programming out of the 5 citywide community centers, as well as all of the city parks. So when you see a bunch of kids out at the tennis courts in the summer with all matching shirts, that's usually PAL out there. In the golf course, the same thing, but we're outside, we're in parks, we're in Buffalo Public Schools, and we're in community centers. So we're kind of all over with one of our programs called Play Streets. We bring the play to them, which was another program launched in COVID. I think we launched maybe 5 new programs during COVID. But we get in the PAL van and pack it all up with all sorts of sporting stuff, and we go to the park and we pull it all out and we set it all up. Volleyball net here, soccer nets over here. And we go knocking door to door, come on out and play. And let them just play outside with all the equipment and have a good time. And we move from park to park. So transportation never becomes a barrier. We become kind of programmed without walls, and we can kind of travel anywhere, which is pretty, you know, it's pretty unique to what we're able to do and the programs we're able to provide.
I feel like I need to get something to eat and take myself outside.
Got to get to the website. Yes. They're like, there's so many programs, I can't keep up.
Well, I was just actually going to ask you that is, you know, there's so many amazing programs, and I'm just thinking for my own kids, it's like, okay, I got to sign my kiddos up and tell everyone else.
Got to bring them on a Saturday.
So folks can go to the website to sign their kids up. And then, of course, some of their schools are already in partnership with PAL. Some of them may be also engaging in that way. What about folks that want to volunteer? Can they reach out to you?
They can go to our website, buffalopal.com. We do have a volunteer and an employment application right on our website. And we have people go on, even if they want to volunteer, they have to complete the background and paperwork that is associated with being a volunteer. Because, you know, we take... You know, our children are precious to us, so we want to make sure that they are safe at all times. So we do vigorous background checks to make sure that the folks that we have working with our kids are up to par and that they're safe to be around. I just mentioned Saturday, dropping kids off. Sports sampling Saturday is amazing. You drop your kid off at 10:30 in the morning, come back at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we've tired them out for the day. But, you know, they get an opportunity to come on a Saturday, a respite for parents, drop them off. And sports sampling is exactly what it is. Whatever sport they're working on, it could be flag football, it could be basketball. We have an indoor ice skating rink that is an artificial ice skating rink. You can skate on it with real ice skates.
Oh no, it is so cool.
It's called a Can Ice, but it's like giant big puzzle pieces that you can actually skate on. It is so cool. But we have that in one of in the Hennepin Center, which is where we offer sports sampling Saturday. So it's pretty cool. We get probably about 60 kids every Saturday that come in and that just have a good time and, you know, enjoy being around other kids and running around and tiring themselves out and learning new sports. There's always cool new things. Pickleball, gaga ball. You heard of gaga ball before?
I've not heard of gaga ball, but pickleball, I'm just now learning. I'm like, got I gotta pickleball get my next. Pickleball game up. So I don't know if I gotta get pickleball first, and now I gotta get Gaga.
Yes. Lots of cool games. They're always coming up with something cool, and always, you know, introducing the kids to something new. So it's always something different every weekend, and the kids love it. So
it's so interesting to me, because I think one way that we can get our kids, our students, the youth to grow is giving them different culture, giving them different mm-hmm. insights. Have you found that when the kiddos have been a part of PAL that they go back to their families, and then their families are more open to seeing mm-hmm. different things, or they want to try, you know, different mm-hmm. sports, or they want to go and try different foods?
Oh, absolutely. Especially with the food. The food is the biggest thing. Because once the kids make the meal, they take it home, it's enough for four. And so they're able to kind of share, and the parents come back. We do surveys all the time, because we want to make sure that what we're offering is what people want. And so we do surveys. I love this. Oh, I've never had this before. I've never tasted that before. I never used this type of seasoning before. I've never made Indian food before. Mm-hmm. So being able to incorporate and have the families engage has been huge as well. And we always invite, you know, the families to stay. You can drop them off, but a lot of them do stay and want to participate and help out. We've had a couple of wonderful parents who've become volunteers, some who've became coaches. So that's a good thing, too. So being able to be an asset to the community, because it's owned by the community. You know, it's not a separate program. It's, you know, this is PAL belongs to the community. It's been around 70 plus years, and we want to remain to be around. But we can only do that with the support of folks coming out to say, yeah, I want to be involved. I want to be a part of this. Whether I want to volunteer, or I want to coach, I want to bring in a basketball team or a baseball team, or I want to donate some books, or, you know, some other things to help assist. But we're always looking, you know, for folks to really help out in any way that they can.
And as we start to close up here, you have to come back to this auction. Because, you know, I can't say it enough, when we talk about nonprofits, when we're mm-hmm. talking about this community, particularly this kind of community work that is really doing what they say that mm-hmm. they do, and providing so much support and opportunities for our youth and our teens. This auction, we need folks to mm-hmm. donate. So can you share with us all the different things that we need? Website, where is it?
Yes. So you can go to buffalopal.com, which is our website, and it'll pop right up. It's the first thing. It'll pop right up. And then after that, you'll see all the programs. It's a really easy, functional website where parents can navigate. We've taken to account to make sure that it's really easy for folks to register for programs and to find information on our website. But also social media. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few social media platforms. They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X. So they can put in Police Athletic League or Buffalo PAL, and it'll pop right up, and they'll be able to find it.
And our last takeaway, what do you want folks to really learn, know, and understand about PAL? I know that's loaded.
But I know. That's a lot. You know, first, I want to go back really quickly to the auction, because mm-hmm. it's going to be a fantastic night. I mentioned the alumni that are coming out. It is a live auction, and we'll have live experiences for people to auction on, which is pretty cool. And it's on our website, so they can go on now and see the cool things that are there. There's a Bills package experience. There's a Sabres package experience. Like, get all your 18 friends and be in a suite, the Sabres game. You know, so it's some really cool experiences. So they can go on right now onto the website and check that out.
Can I wear a nice gown? Can I get dolled
no,
up?
No. This is about the PAL experience.
Okay.
So you have to come in sneakers. and business casual comfortable. Casual comfortable. Make sure your feet are comfortable.
Yes.
Because we do have a few games. We have some basketball games and a couple of little things that you can play around. We have a wine toss. We have a little competition. You know, it wouldn't be PAL without a little competition.
Well,
fun.
For sure.
Yes, we have a live DJ. We have DJ Milk that'll be there to keep us live and having so much fun. But it's going to be a fun night. And if you've ever experienced a live auction, it is amazing. It is a lot of fun. So it's going to be a fun night. There is tons to do. It'll go by really fast on a Thursday night. So that'd be really cool. But one of the things I really want people to understand specifically about PAL is the heart of the board of directors and the heart of the volunteers and staff that we have is all about these youth. Everything we do is about them. We evolve a lot. People say, oh, you change programming all the time. I said, because
the kids
change all the time. And what they need changes mm-hmm. a lot. We started off as just sports, and now we have hashtag more than just sports. We want to support the whole child. We want to support the whole family. We want to be able to make those partnerships and connections with other agencies to be able to do referrals for other things when families come to us, because now they trust us. They trust us. They've been with us for years, and if they're going through something, they come to us to help. Hey, can you help me with whatever issue they have going on? And we can refer them to another agency to make sure that they get what they need, because ultimately we're here for the well-being of their mental and physical and social emotional self. We want them to be their best self, and we want to be able to offer them their best self while having fun.
Yes.
Because sports is fun. It's fun. Competition is fun. And again, sports is the great unifier. That's what kind of sets us apart from everyone else. It is, sports brings everyone together. So we do have very diverse programming, very diverse children that participate. We're in multiple locations throughout the city of Buffalo, east side, west side, north, south, to be able to meet the needs of the community. And we have a very strong partnership and collaboration with the city of Buffalo and the Department of Community Services, who've been amazing throughout the years and being able to work with us with recreational dollars to support all of these programs. And so as a taxpayer and as a resident of the city of Buffalo, these programs are completely free. And we want to be able to continue to offer the programs at no cost, especially for residents in the city. And so we ask that people just give a little bit. Give $100 a year and support the agency so that we can continue to do the unique work that we're able to do.
And we will do that. Thank you, because you are the real unifier here, bringing everyone together. So I'm so thankful for you coming here. This is Nakia Kemp, the Executive Director of Buffalo Athletic League. Thank you so much. Everyone, make sure you check out their website and also get your sneakers ready for the auction. I'm going to get my sneakers ready for auction and get ready to go. I'm Naila Ansari, your guest host for What's Next.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.